Entendi.
शुक्लां भरदरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ The last Nama that we saw is Nama number 806, Mahanidhi. Nidhi means treasure. So Mahanidhi means great treasure, a great support. So one in whom all the great elements have their support. He is Mahan or a great one, and Nidhi the most precious one. The most precious, that which we need to really treasure, is the Atma. But we treasure all the supported ones and forget about the support. Usually in life also this is what happens. We forget all the people who helped us climb the ladder, isn't it? Parents, teachers, elders, whoever helped us when we were in need, we generally forget about them. We get lost in the material world. So, here he is reminding Mahanidhi, the real treasure, the great treasure is the Atma within Vishnu. Everything else leaves you. In fact, everything else is shining because of this support. Without the support of Atma, you won't see the luster that you are seeing in anything. So the problem is when we kind of see all these material things, we think that is our goal. That's what we treasure. But that's not our real goal. The real goal is Brahman, the great abode, Mahanidhi. Great treasure, what one should aspire to reach, what one should wish to attain. Actually, when we are trying to attain anything in life, in fact, we are wanting to attain only Brahman. It is just that we are going through all these material things instead of directly going there. You should understand that it is not possible to go through any of this. So therefore, it is Mahanidhi, the great support, the great treasure, the great abode. You can go anywhere you want. Finally, you have to come to the Self. Finally, you have to come to the Atma. It's not possible without that. So you can achieve whatever you want. You see, who is the student in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna? Who was called as what? Dhananjaya. He is one lord of wealth. And then who is the student here? Who is the student in Vishnu Sahasranama? Anybody? Forgot. Who is the student in Vishnu Sahasranama that we are studying? How did Vishnu Sahasranama start? I'm going to keep quiet. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you all hear me?
Yes, Guruji.
Because I just got a message saying I've been signed out. I don't know what's happening.
It's Duryodhan.
Duryodhan is the student in Vishnu Sahasranama? Who is the student? Huh? We'll have to start from shloka number one again. In the ninth chapter of the Gita, he says, this knowledge is lost due to the long lapse of time.
Sorry, Yudhishthira, I think.
Who is this?
Sandhya.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Yudhishthira, I think. You are right. You think you are right. So, Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira, after winning, he's not happy, right? After having conquered, he didn't get that satisfaction. So, he's going and asking Krishna. Krishna says, let us go and ask Bhishma Pitamaha. They go and ask Bhishma Pitamaha. And then he's asking, he says, Kimekam Daivatam Loke, Kimvapi Ekam Parayanam, Tuvantakam Kamarchanta Prapnu Yurmana Vashugam, Godharma Sarvadharmanam Bhavatap Paramovatana. He goes on asking these kind of questions. Basically, knowing what there is nothing more remains to be known. I would like to know that. That's the question that Krishna is asking. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the student is Arjuna, who was winner of wealth. In the Vishnu Sahasranama, the student is King Janaka. In Vishishtadvaita, Yoga Vasishta. Yoga Vasishta, who is the student? Lord Rama. Lord Rama is the student. Says Vasishta is the guru. And in Ashtavakra Gita, King Janaka is the student. Says Ashtavakra is the guru. Now all this, if you see, all are well to do. Extremely well to do. Powerful. Isn't it? Which is what we aspire to. I want more money, I want more this, I want to become a member there. How do I become a member in YPO? How do I do this? How do I do that? Constantly. These are the abode that we are seeking. Not realizing, even when we are seeking these abodes, we are actually seeking that one abode which is what? Brahman. Divinity. Nothing else. So therefore, Mahanidhi. So all these people, they sought those goals, they achieved it, and even after achieving it, they were incomplete. So a wise person learns from others, fools from their own. Isn't it? So when we read all these stories, you have to understand, all these fellows are kings. Great wealth they had. So much power, name, fame, everything. Which is what we are aspiring for. Even after getting it, if they still sought this, then that is the goal that we should go, no? We don't go following the mass. We got to pause and think. We got to pause and reflect. We don't pause and reflect. That's the problem. Why are they giving these stories, telling us that these are the men who sought after this knowledge? In Kaivalya Upanishad, Shaunaka. Shaunaka is the student in Kaivalya Upanishad. And who is this Shaunaka? Shaunaka is a great family man. He lived, enjoyed everything in the family, but he still was not satisfied. So all this we have to ask ourselves, if all these people in the past, and even in my present life I am seeing, in spite of all this, if they are still not satisfied and they are seeking something, then why am I like a person, unthinking person, I'm following what they followed, then I have to come to that conclusion. So, Mahanidhi, great abode. Everything springs from it, everything resides in it, everything resolves into it. It's the substratum. It's the support. It's the real support. It is what is holding on everything. So, everything is happening on the stage. The stage is Brahman. World is a stage, isn't it? World is superimposed on Brahman. So the real treasure is Narayana. See, if you want wealth to be with you, you have to worship Shripati. Shri is the wealth. Shripati is Narayana. Worship Narayana doesn't mean you start bringing the Vigraha of Lord Narayana and start worshipping. It is fine. You can do that. I'm not saying no. But when he says you worship Narayana, where is Narayana? Huh? What is the word? What is the name Vishnu mean? The second Nama was that? No. Vishwam Vishnu. That's how the Vishnu Sahasranama started. Vishwam Vishnu Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Started like that. So what does the word Vishnu mean? You have the book, you can check and tell me. Second Nama. Nama number two, Vishnu, what does it mean? You don't have the book? Anyone of you, can you refer the book and tell me what does the name Vishnu mean? What does the name Vishnu mean? Do you have the book or you don't? Nobody is answering. I am not sure if I am audible. Can you hear me?
Yes, Guruji, we can hear you.
So do you have the book?
I don't have it.
So nobody has it. Okay.
So you don't have the book, Guruji.
Vishnu means all-pervading reality. So where is Narayana? Where is Vishnu? Everywhere. So what do you have to do? You have to worship him in every being. You have to worship the Lord in every being. When you start serving every being, right? So your whole life should be service. See, in the book Vedanta Creators, there is this fourth chapter called Code of Living. In that book, in that portion, Code of Living, Swamiji mentions three elements of right living. The first element of right living he talks about is service. First element is service. Second element is love. Third element is knowledge. But second, third doesn't mean in that order. Service at the physical level, love at the emotional level, knowledge at the intellectual level. So the more and more we gain the knowledge of the self, the more and more we become identified with every being. Because there is no place or being where there is no Lord. Everywhere the Lord is available. So then we understand that serving the entire world is serving Narayana. We say, no, Naraseva, Narayana Seva. So when you identify thus with Lord Narayana, who is he? He is Shripati. Shripati means the Lord of Goddess Lakshmi, the treasure house. So, if you serve, the wealth will be with you. If you don't serve, the wealth will not be with you. So, wealth is given to you for you to serve, not to hoard. It's not for hoarding. The real nidhi is the Lord. We have lost the real treasure and we are holding on to the duplicates. The real treasure we have lost and we are holding on to the duplicate. Losing our life at the cost of living happily, we are binding ourselves with the material world. We are mortgaging ourselves. Shakespeare says, neither a borrower nor a lender be. For borrowing wealth the edge of husbandry. Why does he say don't borrow? Don't lend. Don't lend means be a giver. Don't be a lender. Be a giver. And he says don't borrow. When you borrow, what are you actually doing? Anybody?
You are creating a karma. Are you creating a karma?
Okay, but don't go that deep. Externally you tell me. What are you really pledging? You are pledging your time.
Yourself. Your time.
You are pledging your time. You are finished then, thereafter. In the next 30 years you are pledging. 20 years, 30 years. So, the real is being sacrificed for the unreal. This is what we are doing. And we call this living. This is not living, this is stupidity. So remember this nama, Maha Nidhi. The real treasure is Atma. See, without the soul, what is this body? This body is just a vesture. It has no meaning. Without the soul, this body has no meaning. So without the real treasure, the senses, mind, intellect, per se they have no meaning. Lot of houses. They have 5 bedrooms, 7 bedrooms. Hardly one fellow living or two fellows living who also don't see each other because of extreme attachment. And children are not living. They're living abroad. Grandchildren are also not coming. So it's just a house. It's not a home anymore. Because the real soul is gone. The Atma is gone. That's what he's saying. We are living a life in which the essence is not there. Because we don't understand. The real Nidhi is Narayana. When you lose the identification with the Narayana and you have so much value for the material stuff, then you are holding on to the dead carcass, not on the soul. Next nama. Next shloka. Kumudat kundarat kundap parjanya pavano pavano nilaha amutam somrutha vapuhu sarvajna sarvato mukaha kumudat kundarat kundap parjanya pavano nilaha amutam somrutha vapuhu sarvajna sarvato mukaha kumuda. Kumuda means one who gladdens the earth. One who gladdens the earth. Who means earth? One who gives joy. One who gladdens the earth. One who gives joy to earth. By freeing it of its burdens. All the burdens. One who gladdens the earth. By freeing it of its burdens. What does that mean? All our burden, the physical weight, is taken by the earth. But the earth's burden is actually taken by Brahman. So indirectly our burden is taken by Brahman. But what is happening is, without understanding this, we are taking the burden on ourselves. It is like carrying the luggage on your head while you are traveling in the flight. Your burden itself is carried by the flight. And you are saying, I don't want to burden the flight anymore, so I am keeping it on my head. What a stupidity. A human being just needs to understand that there is nothing to really be worried about. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. And the world is also nothing but the expression of Lord Narayana. So one who is gladdened by earth, that is another meaning. One who gets gladdened by earth. One who gladdens the earth, one who gets gladdened by the earth. One who gets gladdened by the earth means by expressing the various ways in which the divinity expresses in this world. And thus through such omni potent expressions, various ways in which the Brahman expresses, that's how it gets gladdened. So kumudaha. So this world is nothing but expression of divinity. So when you begin to understand that, then every aspect of the world is worshipful. Thereafter there is nothing here which is to be shunned. Also when he says, he gladdens the earth by removing its burden, he removes all the wicked people. Constantly, wherever the wickedness comes, he removes that. It cannot survive. Supposing you become too tamasic, you become a burden on it. It's like in any organization. You are all running organizations, so you understand that. And someone stops contributing, it starts becoming a liability, then an asset. So what you will do? Okay, he must have served quite a few years, so you might give him something. But you will say bye-bye to him. Because he has become a burden. So when anything becomes a burden, nature removes and lightens it, relieves it. That's what he says. Kumudaha. The law. He as the law makes sure that all these elements that become a burden is relieved. So then what? You should not become a burden on earth. Isn't it? When you are hoarding, when you are taking, when you are just sucking and not really contributing, then you are a burden to the earth. Such people will come under the wrath of law of karma. So the law, God is the one who functions as the law. And through the law, he unburdens earth. Otherwise what will happen? Just imagine. In nature, all of us have this need to go to sleep. Now they are trying to find few other methods in which they can remain without sleeping. Other little sleep. So that they can go on eating. Eating means consuming in the world. Constantly want to consume. What kind of a childish game is this? It's like, you know, whether I keep it in my house or whether it is in your house, ultimately it is on earth. But then because of my ego, I want everything to come into my house. Everything should be with me. This is the problem. Kumudaha, Kundaraha. The one who tore the earth in his incarnation as the boar in order to destroy the mighty tyrant Hiranyaksha. So Kundaraha refers to Hiran, the lord who took the avatara as the boar to destroy Hiranyaksha. Also, Kundaraha means one who weighed the earth. Earth is the ornament which the Lord wears. Earth is the vesture which the Lord wears. So the Lord is referred here as Kundaraha, referring to the avatar. The boar came. In other words, in every form he will come to protect. You better be not a burden to earth. You are a burden. If you start functioning egoistically, you will be dealt with. You are supposed to understand that you are a small circle and align with the big circle. Small circle should align with the big circle. But if you don't understand that, you don't align with the big circle, you start functioning, then any which way things will come and sort it out. Set it right. Then Kundaha. Kundaha, the book that I gave you, the meaning given is one who has limbs as beautiful as Kunda or jasmine. A beautiful flower. Kunda means flower. One who is as attractive as the flower. Petals of a flower. Soft. Kind. Compassionate. And why does he do all these things? Out of compassion. Not out of anger. Not out of elimination. Eliminating desire. Wanting to eliminate. A thing like that. It's out of compassion. So Kundaha means flower. This whole portion, if you see, Kumuda, Kundara, Kunda, everything is trying to say, Lord, though wields the weapon at the right time to unburden the earth, he is actually doing it out of compassion. Is Karuna Swarupa, full of Karuna. So all the unreasonable, vicious tyrants, the Lord gets rid of. Vicious tyrants mean selfish people. Please understand it that way. So you better deal with your selfishness. If you don't deal with your selfishness, you will also go through the same end. That's all it is. We all have a lot of ulta understanding, perverted understanding. We are born in this world to enjoy. Of course you are born in this world to enjoy, but you should know how to enjoy. The real enjoyment is in sacrifice. The real enjoyment is in sacrifice. It's not in aggrandizing. But when you have not tasted that higher joy, and you only know this lower joy, you will not be able to give it away. Not possible. That's why you are made to do such work. When you do such work, when you humble yourself, when you dissolve your ego, you find tremendous joy. It is far superior compared to the joy you got from acquiring in this world. And then you don't have any interest in just mere acquisition. See, our acquisition or addition should be balanced with distribution. If our acquisition is not balanced with distribution, then what will happen? Then we are hoarding. So there is nothing wrong in adding. Oh, what is wrong? Is Vedanta against adding? No. When subsequent or simultaneous distribution is not there, it's a problem. You are going on hoarding. So there has to be proper balance. And the more you distribute, the more you can keep adding. This is how the business model should be. The business is growing. Means what? Distributing more. There is a lot more distribution. Obviously, there has to be a lot more addition. So your upgradations, your additions, should be for distribution, nothing else. That's all Vedanta is saying. Vedanta doesn't say, don't add. So, kundaha, cloth, parjanyaha, one who is similar to the rain-bearing clouds. What do the clouds do? Wherever it goes, it gives rain. It just goes and gives. So the Lord is one who showers. Even if he gives us difficulty, it is only to make us strong. Like the gold is put in fire to make it pure. Only an ignorant person will say, I don't know why God is putting me all the time in difficulty. So, parjanyaha, rain-bearing cloud. Wherever the Lord showers, He showers them with peace and prosperity. Absolute contentment, fulfillment. So, He says, Lord is parjanya. Rain clouds. Daffodil's poem. He says, Wordsworth. Wordsworth says, I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats high over vales and hills. He says, I wandered lonely as a cloud. I did not go in groups. I went alone. No attachment. And I was wandering, not attached to any place also. And I may be wandering alone because I cannot get along with people. And I am bored in one place, therefore I am roaming around. No, it is not like that. He says, I wandered lonely as a cloud. Means what? I was not wandering, roaming around without any purpose, senselessly, directionlessly. No. I wandered with a purpose. is a direction, as a cloud. Wherever I went, I gave them rain. So that is Bhagwan. When Bhagwan comes into your life, how do you know his presence? You will be blissful without a reason. Why do we have to have a reason to celebrate? Next week, Holi, something or other you have to be reminded of. Then the whole week you will start thinking about it and start celebrating. Another week it continues. Usually, because you're so excited, but the excitement to unwind itself takes another week. So why should there be some reason? You are. Isn't that a reason to be celebrating? Not what you have come into life. So a person who really understands the truth, for him every moment is a celebration. Every moment is a joy. Every moment is passing on. See, when I understand that constant, uninterrupted, divine benevolence, which is feeding me constantly, I start distributing. What is there for me to keep it to myself? It's madness. It's madness. Parjanya. So, how do you know if the Lord has come? Actually, the Lord will come when you are empty. When you are full, he will not come. Rain will come in the areas where there is demand. It will come. And when it comes, it gives itself, filling the place with bliss, contentment, prosperity, joy. Similarly, your life will be enriched by the divinity when you identify with it. Parjanya. Pavanaha. One who ever purifies. Wind purifies. When you have gone out on vacation, or let's say 2 weeks or 3 weeks, the house was shut, all the windows, doors, everything was shut. So when you come home back, you open the main door, the air is stale there. So to, what do? When as soon as you enter, you open up all the windows and all the doors. So allow the cross ventilation. Then what happens? The room, everything starts getting purified, cleansed. So like that, as the Lord enters our life, we start getting more and more purified. I told you this in the beginning itself. Vishnu Sahasranama is like taking bath at the mind level. Every day you take bath for the body. You are supposed to bathe your mind also. But where are these bathing the mind? Every day. So if you chant Vishnu Sahasranama and if you understand the meaning of it and chant, it's like you are giving a fantastic bath to your mind. The mind becomes purified. Thereafter it is not interested in the superficial stuff. When you have tasted the sublime, why would you want, when you have lived the life of giving, you do not want to hold. Because you understood that is actually death. This is living. Holding is equal to death. This is the problem. You don't understand this. Anything when you start holding and stagnating, you are writing your own end. So therefore he says pavana, purifies. You are purified of greed, jealousy, anger, fear, arrogance. All the impurities leave you when you give it a bath in Vishnu Sahasranam. Anilaha. Like the atmospheric air, the Lord is the light giver everywhere. The lost light is brought back the moment you identify with the divinity within. Because when you go with the direction of the mind, it never stays in the present. So you are merely existing, you are not living. The real life giver is divinity. The moment you leave the divinity, it's only a loss. But the moment you identify with the divinity, you begin to live. All of us who run after the material wealth, we don't live. Our mind goes helter-skelter everywhere. We are not in the present. We are merely existing. Only when the mind is calm and serene, fully available, In fact, what we should do, even in this classroom, we will, all of us come at about 10:45, including myself. I'll play a few bhajans. For 15 minutes, let's listen to bhajans. Quieten ourselves. Then when we listen to the class, when we read, when we study, it's a completely different experience. Otherwise, you just come and then by the time we tune up, the class is over. Therefore, we need to actually settle down, quieten. Only when the mind quietens do you really absorb. Otherwise you don't. It's a waste. The purification doesn't happen. So anilaha. And nila also means slipping into the condition of non-apprehension, not understanding Brahman as Brahman, and misapprehending Brahman as his world, as his body. Anila means the opposite. One who never slips into non-apprehension. Thereafter there is no more not understanding Brahman. You understand Brahman perfectly. There is nothing wrong. There is no confusion. Non-understanding of Brahman or ignorance causes the misapprehension of the world. So anila means one who has no non-apprehension. Is free from all the non-apprehensions. That's what it means. Anilaha. One who always in the state of consciousness, never slips out of that state of consciousness. Whatever he or she may be doing, if a person has reached the self, they will be always establishing the self. Divinity, one of the namas given is Anila, never slips out of the consciousness. Establishing it. Something like Achyuta. Achyuta means one who's never fallen. not falling down from the state of perfection, not falling down from consciousness. That's what it means. Anilaha. Amrutasaha. Amrita means what? One meaning is nectar. Other meaning is immortality. Right? One whose desires are never fruitless. That is one meaning. One whose desires are never fruitless. Amrita asaha. The desires of the Lord is never fruitless in the sense an evolved person, when he or she wishes, like they say, no? Your wish is my command. The genie is saying, your wish is my command. So what is the genie here? When you invite a Swami, you ask the Swami. Swamiji says, if you wish to continue in this line of teaching, never disclose your real likes, especially in food. Because people will want to give you bhiksha, they will invite you for lunch. And then, if you had told your preferences, this is what I really love. Somebody says, Swamiji loves this very much. And that's it. He'll only be feeding you with that. Your desires will never be fruitless. Why? Why? When will your desires never be fruitless? See, understand the secret in life. Very simple. All of you read the book Secret, and a lot of people read the book Secret because they misunderstand that book and they say, I don't have to do anything. I have to just think about it, it'll get attracted to me. Nothing like that will happen if you function like this. What is really happening in life is, take this simple example. When you go to anybody's house, either they have their own children or their grandchildren or small kids, one or two will minimum be there in the house. Right? Or let's say you go to the school, and every time you go to the school, you take some chocolates. And the children will be waiting for you. Oh, he will come now. Now you are having Bhagavad Gita class. The teacher is coming. More than you, the children look forward. Why? Definitely he's going to bring us some chocolates. So they look forward. So you're coming. And you are somebody who are basically taking care of them. Interested in their welfare. So you rise above your wants. And then they will fulfill your likes, your slighted desire. In fact, when you rise above, identify with Narayana, and you simply work, even one thought that comes, firstly it won't be selfish. It will only be for the welfare of the world. And it will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. This is the law. This is what happens. You have to be a person who attracts everyone to you. How is that possible? Only when you rise above everything will you attract. If you are going constantly asking, nobody wants you. Say, Baba, this fellow is coming every Thursday. Before he comes, let us leave the house. Or you will wait for Thursdays. When is he going to come? Still not Thursday? So why? Because you have no wants. It's a simple thing. So when you look at it from the bhakti angle, you start fulfilling the wants of the divinity, the world, and the world will start fulfilling your wants. He says, Amrutashaha. You will be constantly drinking nectar. It's a beautiful nama. One whose greatest desire is for the state of immortality. Amrutashaha, not petty desires. And maybe likes and dislikes. Anybody, you know, if you go to Swami Ramtirtha, he is grown up in Punjab. He may like certain food. If you go and ask Swami Ramana Maharshi, he will have different kind of a taste. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa would have had different. That is different. But they had no other desire but to realize that, and they are all realized souls. So Amrutashaha means one whose desire is never fruitless. Also, it means the only desire they have is to realize the fruitfulness. Your desire will be fructified, fulfilled. Amrutashaha. That's why it's not a big deal for a great sage. That thoughts get fructified. Because it's not for them. It is not possible when you escalate yourself to that height, you will not get any thought which is just for yourself. It's not possible. You have a desire, it will have its end. Because it's paripurna. In that state of paripurna, whatever you wish, you will get. Everything gets attracted to a person who is full, not one who is craving. So that's why even in the book Secret and all, when they talk about gratitude, forgiveness, all these things. And they say that you have to visualize that you already have it. Supposing you say, I don't have it, I want it, I want it, I want it. Means you are saying directly, I don't have it. And that means what? You are creating the thought that you don't have it. And when you are creating the thought that you don't have it, you will not have it. That's what they say. So if you visualize and imagine that you already have it, you are full. So for doing all the practice, they also talk about gratitude, they also talk about forgiveness and all that. Then when you are paripurna, whatever thought that comes gets filled. It's a fascinating experience. Amrita Vapuhu, he whose form is immortal. The eternal reality is not conditioned by time. Unconditioned by time. So the form of reality is eternal, amrita, beyond death, beyond the perishable body, mind, intellect, vasanas. It's always remaining, amrita vapu. It doesn't go through any modifications. When the body goes through modifications, Atma doesn't go through any modification. When the mind goes through modification, Atma doesn't go through any modification. When the intellect goes through modifications, Atma doesn't go through any modifications. Which means you don't go through any modification. I told you, whenever we read this thing, Vishnu is immortal, correct, correct. No, it's talking about you. You are essentially the divine, divinity. So you are Amrita Vapuhu. But unfortunately, you identify only with this small form. You don't have the capacity to identify with the divinity. Sarvajnaha, omniscient, all knowing. So divinity is that which is behind it. All transaction of knowledge anywhere it may be. If the eyes are seeing something, the divinity is enabling the eyes to see. The ears are hearing something. That means the divinity is enabling the ears to hear something. Similarly, when you are knowing something, there is divinity making you know that, gain that knowledge. So behind every knowledge, there is Brahman, there is divinity. Therefore, divinity knows everything. It's the all-knowing principle. Sarvajnaha. Sarvajnaha means all-knowing principle. The same consciousness behind the animals, the birds, the fishes, the humans. So, divinity is behind all knowledge. Therefore, Sarvajnaha, pure knowledge. Because of the principle, because of the pure consciousness, any knowledge is possible. But what happens when we become knowledgeable? We become arrogant. People start respecting you. And you think they are respecting this body man intellect. They are respecting the knowledge. They are not respecting this body man intellect. When they say, when you say they are respecting the knowledge, what are they really respecting? The tyag. Tyag is knowledge. Everything else is not knowledge. This is all rubbish. It's just book information. What are you respected for? You are respected for the tyag. Respected for the sacrifice. You have taken on their shoulders for your sacrifice. Not for any other purpose. So that's all he says here. Sarvajna. Omniscient. Then Sarvato Mukaha. Sarvato Mukaha means one whose face is everywhere. One whose face everywhere. Means what? You may think nobody is watching, but the law is watching. One whose face is everywhere. All pervading reality. Who has no direction? The light that comes from the lamp, which direction is it facing? It's facing up there, upwards, downwards, sidewards, which side? It is facing all directions. So Brahman is all pervading in all directions. Sarvato Mukaha. So Brahman sitting inside you is sitting there as a sakshi, knowing everything. And you can cheat anybody and get away, but you cannot cheat Brahman. You cannot cheat Ishvara. The knowledge which is available in all directions. You start functioning consciously. You start turning self. He started with Kumuda. He's ending with Sarvato Mukaha. All he's trying to tell us is, you better be clear that the consciousness inside, wherever you go, it's with you. I told you one story, no? Guru once called two of his students. Each of them he gave one fruit. And he told them, please go to a place where there is nobody, eat it and come back. So both of them went. After a few hours, when they came back, one fellow ate the fruit and came back, another fellow came back without eating. So the guru asked, what happened? Why you didn't eat? I told you to eat in a place where there is nobody. She said, yes, I understood you. I also wanted to, you know, go and eat where there is no one. But I could never find a place where there is no one. Why? Because wherever I go, I am there. So I could not find a place where there is no I, where there is no consciousness. They say now, after having installed cameras, the cameras are installed for different reasons. But after having installed the cameras on the streets and roads everywhere, the crime level has come down like anything. They say that. Or they are able to crack the crime fast, very fast. Because they constantly watch. The moment you become aware, you cannot commit crime. You cannot commit sin. It's impossible that you will be able to do anything wrong. So sarvato mukaha, you must understand that. Atman is everywhere. You may think it is not there. No, you become aware. See, the problem is with us, only with the gross form, you become aware. Oh, Bhagavan is here. Puja room. As if Bhagavan is not there anywhere else. Bhagavan is everywhere. He's constantly watching. He is in fact sitting inside you watching. Upadrashta. The Bhagavad Gita we studied. Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwaraha. Studied all these things in the Bhagavad Gita. Sitting inside each one of us as a drashta, as a witness. The witnessing consciousness. So how can you not become aware of that? When you become aware of that, sarvato mukaha, automatically you will behave properly. So it cleanses you, disciplines you, it quietens you, it calms you. By bringing that effect in you, you start revealing the divinity from within. You start becoming more and more enlightened. So sarvato mukaha. Let's conclude with this. Like I said, next week, please inform that we will start the class at 10:40. We can have the class next week, right? On the 9th. Only 8th.
I'm not there. I'm traveling on the 9th.
Okay, you let me know, but whenever is the next class, it will be from 10:45. 10:45 to 11 will be bhajans and 11 to 12 will be the class. Let's conclude now. Om. Om Purnamada
Namadam Purnamidam Purnam
Chati Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Buddhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Yadyad Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami.
Hari Om Guruji.
Hari Om.